We want to continue our study in the Gospel of John. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn together to the Gospel of John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. Transubstantiation is a doctrine in Roman Catholicism which teaches that when a priest blesses the bread and wine of the Eucharist or the Mass, that bread and that wine is miraculously transformed into the literal flesh and blood of Christ, even though it continues to look and to taste and to smell like bread and wine. That's why in Roman Catholicism, the Eucharist or the Mass is also referred to as Holy Communion, because they believe that Jesus Christ is literally present in those elements that have been consecrated by the priest. And of course, that's why we do not use that term, Holy Communion. And so, therefore, it naturally follows then that in the teachings of Catholicism, that to reject the Eucharist or to reject the Mass is to reject Jesus Christ. And which simply means that if you don't take the Mass, you don't take the Eucharist, then you cannot have salvation. In fact, Catholicism clearly states that the faithful reception of the Eucharist is necessary for salvation for those who have reached the age of reason. Now, the reason why I mention that this evening is simply because this is a teaching that is based on an improper method of Bible interpretation. You see, we need to realize that there are some people who fall into doctrinal error when they apply an allegorical method of Bible interpretation to a text that clearly ought to be taken literally. And the very opposite is also true, that there are times when people will fall into a doctrinal error when they use a literal method of interpretation on a text that clearly should be understood allegorically. And that is exactly what Catholicism has done with this text that we're going to be dealing with in our study tonight. They have given a literal interpretation to a text that, as we're going to see as we go through it together, very clearly it should be noted as an allegorical text. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we have seen the Lord Jesus giving some displays concerning his authority. We saw his authority was clearly seen, first of all, in his power. You remember in this chapter, in verse 1 to verse 21, we saw his power was revealed in two great miracles that he performed. There was the feeding of the multitudes, how that the Lord Jesus miraculously fed a great multitude of thousands of people with only 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And then you remember there was the power that was shown when he was seen walking on the water. You remember while his disciples were toiling in the middle of a storm on the Sea of Galilee, the Lord Jesus came to them walking on the waters. And then when he got in the boat, you remember, they immediately arrived at their desired destination. And so we saw his authority as it was displayed by his power. But then also we saw his authority displayed by his preaching. In verse 22 to verse number 40, we saw the Lord Jesus last time giving a discourse on the bread of life. And you remember there were a couple of things. We saw, first of all, the admonition that was given. And the admonition was simply that those people to whom Jesus was speaking, they needed to be more concerned about their eternal needs than their physical needs. In other words, they had everything out of kilter. They had everything backwards. They were more concerned about the temporary things than they were about eternal things. And so there was the admonition given. And then there was the misunderstanding revealed. You remember, like many today, we said that those people were holding to the foolish opinion that there was something that somehow they would be able to do in their own strength and in their own power that would allow them to earn or to merit that bread that would give to them everlasting life. But you remember the Lord Jesus declared that the only work that is required was simply that they should believe on Him. John chapter 6, verse 29. And then we saw the stubbornness that was shown. Even though they had already seen the miraculous healings in John 6, 2, and then they had eaten the miraculous provision of bread and fish just the day before, they wanted to see another sign. They wanted to see another sign to prove that what the Lord Jesus had said was really true. And they dropped what we might call a not so subtle hint that they would like more bread by reminding the Lord Jesus of how the Lord God had fed the nation of Israel with manna for 40 years in the wilderness. But then you remember the Lord Jesus turned their focus. He turned their focus from things physical, and He turned their focus to things spiritual. And we saw letter D, the revelation declared. The revelation was simply that God's bread for them. And by the way, God's bread for us. It would not come in a physical wafer. It would not come in a physical loaf. Rather, it would come in the person of the Lord Jesus Himself. And then we saw the truth explained. Those who would receive Him, talking about Christ, those who would receive Him as the bread of life would never know spiritual hunger again in this present life, and they would have the promise of eternal life at the resurrection. Well, now we come to the final part of this chapter. We come to the final part of this sixth chapter in the Gospel of John, and here we will see the reactions to the demonstration of authority that was revealed in the message that the Lord Jesus has just given to them. And so I want us to notice a couple of things together. Number one, notice the murmuring. The murmuring. In John chapter 6, verse 41, the Bible says, "The Jews then murmured at Him." They murmured at Him. And a couple of things I want you to notice. First of all, the cause of it. Why are they murmuring? Verse 41, here's the reason. Because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And so there was the cause. Then notice the logic of it. In verse 42, they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven?" In other words, how can this be the bread of life? We know this man. We've watched him grow up. We know Joseph, and we know his mom, and we know his siblings, and how could this be that bread that God sent down from heaven? So they're murmuring at the Lord Jesus because of his claim and because of what they knew. And then we saw the rebuke of it. We find the rebuke of it. In verse 43, "Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves." In other words, the Lord Jesus rebuked them for murmuring against his claim to have come from heaven. And then he pressed them further. He pressed them further when he said in verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." I want you to notice that little word, draw. The word draw does not mean to draw someone against their will. Rather, it carries the same idea of the Hebrew equivalent that is found in Jeremiah chapter 31 in verse number 3, where the Bible says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." There's the same word. There's the same word. So Martin Luther, the reformer, he was absolutely right. He got this part right when he said concerning this passage, the drawing is not like that of the executioner who draws the thief up the ladder to the gallows, but it is a gracious allurement, such as that of the man whom everybody loves and to whom everybody willingly goes. That's how Jesus Christ draws men to himself. But the sad thing is that these men were just like those of whom the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 40, "Ye will not come to me that you might have life." Notice Jesus did not say, "You cannot come to me." That's what some would teach. Some would teach, "Oh, you can't come to God." No, he said, "You will not." You see, it's by an act of our will that we choose either to come to Christ or to reject Jesus Christ. And so these men, just like the Pharaoh of Egypt that you read about, these men had adamantly hardened their hearts. They refused to be drawn to the Savior. And therefore we find number two, the proclaiming. And we find the proclaiming is seen, first of all, that they were rejecting God's word. In John chapter 6, verse 45 and verse 46, the Lord Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets." And by the way, you may want to make a note here that the writing the Lord Jesus is referring to, it's actually found in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13. But Jesus said, "It's written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." In other words, people are drawn not because they have seen the Father, but they're drawn because of the Spirit of God who deals and works in their hearts to draw them to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But you see, these men, they had rejected the words of the prophets. They had rejected the prophecies that had been given concerning Jesus Christ. And so therefore, not only were they guilty of rejecting God's word, they're guilty, letter B, of rejecting God's Son. In John chapter 6, verse 47 and verse 48, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." And it's here that the Lord Jesus drew a clear contrast. He draws a clear contrast between two things. First of all, he draws a clear contrast between physical bread. In John chapter 6, verse 49, he said, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness." And guess what? They're dead. They ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. But then he shows the other side and he shows the spiritual bread. Listen to what he said in verse 50 and verse 51. "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live again. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now this resulted in a third thing that we need to notice, and that is the striving. The striving. Two things that we find here. First of all, there is the displeasure of the Jews. The displeasure of the Jews. In verse 52, "The Jews, therefore," the Bible says, "they strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" See, that was their understanding. In the minds of these religious leaders, the Lord Jesus was actually issuing a call to cannibalism. He's issuing a call for them to become literally cannibals who would eat his physical flesh. And while that such a thing would be repulsive in nearly every society that you can think of. And I realize that there are some societies in our world today where cannibalism is still something that is practiced. It's something that is still thought to be normal and right. But in most every society in our world today, such a thing would be absolutely repulsive. And it was especially repulsive, especially offensive to the Jewish people. But the Lord Jesus would not let them off the hook. He would not let them off the hook. Notice letter B, the declaration of the Savior. We've seen the displeasure of the Jews, but now notice the declaration of the Savior. Let's just read several verses here, beginning in verse number 53 and following. Then saith Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Again, this is not a call to cannibalism. Rather, it was a physical picture of a spiritual truth. Did you catch it? Your fathers ate physical bread and they're dead. It didn't do them any good at all. But I'm offering you a different bread, a spiritual bread. It is my own body that I'm offering. And if you will partake of that, you will live forever. It's not physical eating. It's spiritually eating. It's the same idea that we find when the Lord God said that the prophet feasted on the Word of God. Didn't mean he literally ate the Bible. Simply means that he fed his soul with it. And that's exactly the same idea that we find here. Then number four, we find the dividing. The dividing. You know, the Lord Jesus made a statement. He said, I've not come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. I've come to bring a sword, not a sword for wars and not a sword for crusades and all of those things. No, he said, I came to bring a sword. It's a sword that divides men. And notice the dividing. We see it, first of all, in the response of the disciples. In the response of the disciples. Now, please understand, the term disciple is not synonymous with believer. It's not synonymous with believer. While it's true that some of his disciples were believers, it's also true that many of those disciples were still undecided. You see, a disciple simply means a follower. It means one who is following along. And so therefore, not only the Jews in John 5, chapter 6, verse 52, not only the Jews, the religious leaders, but many of those who were following him, many of those disciples had found the teaching of the Lord Jesus something they just could not grasp. They found it to be very offensive. And so therefore, the Bible says in verse 60, and verse 61, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? The Jews had stumbled over his claim to have come from heaven. And the idea that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to be saved was a huge stumbling block for the Jews. But if they stumbled over these matters, the Lord Jesus had a question for them. Verse 62, What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? In other words, if they could not accept the claims of the Lord Jesus in the flesh, how would they ever be able to properly respond when they saw Him seated on the throne of glory at the Father's right hand? How would they ever be able to respond to that? And then the Lord Jesus explained. He makes it very clear for us that His language was figurative. His language was spiritual. In other words, He is not telling people that they have to literally eat His flesh or drink His blood. He makes it very clear that He is speaking in a spiritual way in verse 63 and verse 64. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Clearly, remember I said not all of His disciples were believers, but some of them were. And so clearly His 12 apostles are included in this group. And we know that's true because of what comes next. Notice it, verse 64. There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. In other words, it's very clear. Judas Iscariot, the traitor, is standing with the group of disciples. And because of the hardness and the stubbornness of their unbelieving hearts, the Lord Jesus said in verse 65 and verse 66, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time, many of His disciples, they went back and walked no more with Him. And then the Lord Jesus turned His attention to find the response, letter B, of the 12. He's been talking to all of the disciples in general, but now He's going to focus specifically on the 12. Verse 67 to verse 69. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom are we going to go? To whom will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Lord Jesus made a painful observation. Just because a person joins in with the children of God, just because a person follows along with the children of God, that does not make him a child of God. You know, many people have the idea, oh, if I go to church and I join with Christian people, then I become a Christian. Well, no, actually, you do not. Here we find this very clearly stated. Because notice what Jesus said. Remember, He's talking to the 12. Here's what He said, verse 70 and verse 71. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is the devil. I wonder who it was. Well, you don't have to wonder because He tells us. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. Now, the whole point of this discourse on the bread of life that we've seen last week and started looking at is to show how that partaking of the Lord Jesus, spiritually feeding on Him, just like drinking that living water that we saw back in John chapter 4 when the Lord Jesus spoke with the woman at the well there in Samaria. This partaking of the Lord Jesus, it's not something that is literal. It's a spiritual thing. It's an act of faith in Him and Him alone for the salvation of your soul. And so if you have never received him as your Savior tonight, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to listen very carefully. And I want to admonish you to follow the counsel, the advice of the psalmist. In Psalm 34, verse 8, here's what he said. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in him. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, then certainly that is our prayer for you this evening, that you would taste and see. That you would taste and see that God is, He is good. And that you would receive the wonderful blessings that He has for all of those who put their faith and trust in Him. And if you have trusted Him as your Savior, if you have tasted of His goodness, you've tasted of His mercy, you've tasted of His grace, and you've been washed in that precious blood that was shed for the salvation of your soul on the cross of Calvary, then let me encourage you this evening to love Him. Let me encourage you this evening to worship Him and to praise Him. And not only that, let me encourage you to be faithful telling others about Him until Jesus comes and takes us home.